हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 68, Adhyaya Prakashika. While Mother Yashoda was allowing Krishna to drink her breast milk, she was forced to stop because she saw the milk pan boiling over on the oven. The maidservants being engaged in other business, she stopped allowing Krishna to drink from her breast and immediately attended to the overflowing milk pan. Krishna became very angry because of his mother's behavior and devised a means of breaking the pots of yogurt. Because he created this disturbance, Mother Yashoda decided to bind him. These incidents are described in this chapter. One day, the maidservants being engaged in other work, Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt into butter herself. And in the meantime, Krishna came and requested her to allow him to suck her breast milk. Of course, Mother Yashoda immediately allowed him to do so. But then she saw that the hot milk on the oven was boiling over, and therefore she immediately stopped allowing Krishna to drink the milk of her breast and went to stop the milk on the oven from overflowing. Krishna, however, having been interrupted in his business of sucking the breast, was very angry. He took a piece of stone, broke the churning pot, and entered the room, where he began to eat the freshly churned butter. Right? Yes. When Mother Yashoda, after attending to the overflowing milk, returned and saw the pot broken, she could understand that this was the work of Krishna, and therefore she went to search for him. When she searched, entered the room, she saw Krishna standing on the ulukala, a large mortar for grinding spices. Having turned the mortar upside down, he was stealing butter hanging from the swing and was distributing the butter to the monkeys. It means you have this wooden kind of mortar. It looks like a...
hourglass.
Yeah, an hourglass. But the top part has a hollowness, the bottom part's solid. And so then with that, with a long kind of wooden stick, then you grind the spices. The bigger and heavier, long... It doesn't have to be heavy. It's the kind of the length of the thing. So it's not so heavy, but somehow or another it has more force. So you just have to move it a little bit. But the kind of the momentum of it grinds the spices. And the same like on the mridanga. Nowadays people just take something short and whack, hit the mridanga rim to try to tighten it. But the tradition is use a very long stick. So you just touch the edge, but the weight, the kind of the force of the momentum then moves it. So that way you never break the clay. So this way it doesn't have to be actually that strong. And so, you know, you can do that. Yes? No? Okay. So since it's hollow on one side, then, you know, therefore you want to turn it upside down. Because it's very hard. Because otherwise, you stand on it, you'll be standing inside, not much advantage. As soon as Krishna saw his mother had come, he immediately began to run away, and Mother Yashoda began to follow him. After going some distance, Mother Yashoda was able to catch Krishna, who, because of his offense, was crying. Mother Yashoda, of course, threatened to punish Krishna if he acted that way again. Right, it says, of course, right? Because it's that you have to show them what's the correct thing. Right? And she decided to bind him with rope. Unfortunately, when the time came to knot the rope with which she wanted to bind him was short by a distance equal to the width of two fingers. That just means that much. So it's only that much short, you know? Yeah. Annoying, right?
But just.
Yeah, okay. Like that. When she made the rope longer by adding another rope, she again saw it was short by two fingers. Yeah. Again and again she tried, and again she found the rope too short by two fingers. So that means she kept adding a rope, and a rope doesn't mean she added on 6 inches or something. You know, she's a full rope. You know, at least minimum the ones that I'll use for tying the cow's feet together for milking. You know, so that's going to be something at least a meter or so long. So it's 2 fingers short, you tie on a rope at least a meter long. Okay, the knot, okay, you use up 10 centimeters. You have 90 centimeters, right? But it's still 2 fingers short. Doesn't matter what you do, it's always 2 fingers short.
This is time and space.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's the point. Krishna is only by his yoga maya, he's taking that form, that size. That's his form, but the point is his form can be unlimited or that size. So it's not that he has no form and then he gets a form. No, that is his form, but the point is he is everything. So his size is unlimited and everything's within him. But at the same time, by yoga maya, he can be the size just suitable to sit there on Mother Jashoda's lap and not be too heavy. So yes. Thus she became very tired, and Krishna, seeing his affectionate mother so tired, allowed himself to be bound, right? So she's putting in so much effort for his benefit. Well, why she's wanting to tie? Because she feels then he'll be corrected, understand this wrong, because otherwise he'll grow up, you know, with bad attitude, and then that will be bad for him. Now, being compassionate, he did not show her his unlimited potency. After Mother Jashoda bound Krishna, became engaged in other household affairs, Krishna observed 2 Yamala Arjuna trees, which were actually Nalakuvara and Manigriva, 2 sons of Kuvera, who had been condemned by Narad Muni to become trees. Krishna, by his mercy, now began to proceed towards the trees to fulfill the desire of Narad Muni. Because right? Narad Muni is the one that said they would see Krishna. Because right? The whole idea is they would be in trees, so they would think a bit. You know, like that, contemplate that this is not so ideal, right? You know, and you know, I mean, they're nice trees. They're not like as beautiful as they were as Nalakuvara and Manigriva, but you know, they're okay trees. And then Narad Muni wanted them to see Krishna. So after contemplating, then they, by seeing Krishna, then they would take advantage of that. Otherwise, if immediately they saw Krishna, they would probably say the same stupid things to him as they did to Narad Muni. Right? Yes?
It's mentioned that they stand there in that same place for 100 celestial years.
Yeah, that's long enough to contemplate, you know. So, you know, if there's a, how you say, demigods who are out of hand, you know, they need 100 years to think about it, right? So, yes? Means, can you at home, can you do both? It just depends if you can. You're contaminated anyway. You're at home. We're not now if you're cooking for the deities, now maybe you're not doing that. That, they're in the home. What can they do? They're your guests. All right. You understand? The point is what kind of fire is she working on? Right? She has this nice little cute gas oven like that. But of course, being Mother Jashoda, the queen of Vrindavan, she has one of those kind of, you know, restaurant quality, but it's a home size, you know, so, you know, there's 6 burner, you know, the whole cast iron, you know, the whole thing like that, right?
Injector.
No.
Huh? Injector takes 2 seconds to boil it. Injector ones.
Oh, yeah. So, she has, you know, there'll be cow dung, right? They have cows, plenty of cow dung, so, yeah. So then, that means that they're bigger. That's why it's called an oven, not a stove. Because those big ones, they're called ovens. Because they're actually quite hot and everything like that. Because even you take things off, it still runs. The other one, you just turn it off. These keep going. So that means it's a bigger pot, because she's not just cooking just for Krishna. It'll be Krishna, the family. You know, when when they eat, then always, you know, the brothers of Nanda Maharaj come. Krishna's friends come. It's a whole, you understand? So they're used to doing things on a bigger scale. So now, would you be able to hold the baby and take one of those pots off the fire? You'd need 2 hands. If it's a small thing that you can do it with one hand, you know, anything, you have the chimtis, you know, those pliers, you just pick up the thing and move it, or you just turn it off, and that, then there's no need. I've seen so many ladies do everything with the kid, you know, cooking included. It's not a problem. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that not that she can't, it's in here, it's a big pot. Because it said it's this milk of a specific cow. And it's not, you know, the modern cows that only give, you know, a liter or two of milk, so it's in a small pot. They give a lot of milk. So it'll be in a big pot. Is that okay? Yeah, so don't take it, oh, just see, you have to put the baby down. Don't do that, because you see what happens when you put the baby down. So that also is coming from Krishna. So, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 23, Damodar Leela. Ah, so it's just one thing, okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, the astonishing, uncommon parental love with Krishna as the object and Nanda and Yashoda as the shelter must have been due to the most extraordinary, unparalleled sadhana. Parikit had asked the question to Sukadev, but the story of Drona and Dara did not reveal such extraordinary sadhana. Seeing that Parikit was not too pleased, Sukadev then began speaking about the pastime of Damodar Leela to bring out the real answer to Parikit's question. Because right, one is he's asking, you know, what did they do? So that's one is, what was the sadhana? Because he only mentioned the attitude in which they performed it. You know, which is the main thing. But he could see he wasn't satisfied, so therefore, then, the what was the form that they used? Yes. At the same time, to continue that point of their attitude, and that's why they're the best, and no one actually can, by sadhana, become Nandan Yashoda. Therefore, then he's showing that the aspect of the Damodar Leela, how their love is way beyond what anybody else would be able to manifest. Right? Because Mother Yashoda is the embodiment of parental love, and others are her expansion. Does that make sense? So in that way, he's answering his question on more detail, but at the same time he's also continuing the point of their particular mood of devotion. So, Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, one day when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, right? So in other words, he saw the mood, because he doesn't ask another question. Yes. He just saw the mood and he explained it. He wasn't satisfied, so then he then went on like this. She personally began to churn the yogurt, right? Because otherwise the yogurt would be made, the maidservants would churn, like that, if she has other things to do, otherwise if not, then she does. So in other words, they're doing things that need to be done, so since the milk needs to be churned, then she'll do it. But it's not that they don't do these things, it's just a matter of you're doing big things, it's whoever should be doing what at what time. You know, so this idea is, oh, they just sit back and she just eats peeled grapes or something like that. That's not actually how it works. Yeah. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself all about those activities. That's what we mean by that natural, spontaneous absorption. That's Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. So, in other words, Raganuga is following Ragatmika, but it's natural. So, if it comes naturally, then it's Raganuga. If it doesn't come, then it's not that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, one day, on the festival day of the lamps, Deepavali, Yashoda began churning yogurt, absorbed in thought how from among countless cows there were 7 or 8, rare as a horse with one black ear, who were eating the most fragrant grass and gave the most tasty fragrant milk, which would be relished by her son. Right? So in other words, they have, you know, so many cows. And of all of them, then, because all the cows will have lakshanas, right? It means it's symptoms of the particular natures. Mm-hmm. So this one, so these particular, said here, what is it, 7 or 8?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 7 or 8 cows, then they had these special lakshanas that were, they were, you know, then of all the cows, they were the best.
Yes.
Then they were given the, you know, fragrant grass. So the assistants who would go to feed the cows, then they would go out searching for special kinds of grasses that they themselves are very fragrant, so therefore the cows eating that, the milk will be fragrant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like that. So depending upon what the cows are eating, the milk actually has a certain smell or like that.
Yes.
So then these cows then are the ones that, so this is the milk from that cow. Right? And of those, of course, is, what did we say again? 7 or 8, so one of them must have been the most prominent, or if it was all of the milk at once, it was a big pot.
Maharaj, here speaks about how Yashoda is meditating on the activities of Krishna. So, can you say that the meditation of the Uttam Adhikaris or the Nitya Siddhas is individual, and is it possible or is it okay if Madhyamas do the meditation on the activities of Krishna in group, like 2 or 3, like-minded devotees?
How do you do a meditation in a group? I mean, I've heard of the Yoga Sutras and that, and I've never heard of that. So how do you meditate in a group?
Group means only 2 or 3 devotees, not a huge, not a large group.
No, but how do you do that? Because there's only you each have your own individual portion of the unlimited material element of mind. So how do you do a meditation in a group?
By discussing.
But that's discussing the pastimes. That's not meditation.
But in that discussion brings us to a platform of absorption in the activities of Krishna, and therefore.
Yes, I mean, if you want to stretch it like that. But the point is that to sit, is it recommended in the association of the devotees to relish the pastimes of the Lord? So then why don't we see it like that? Why do we have to throw it into meditation? Why can't we call it, just the discussions? Otherwise, then why is it every time the 6 Goswamis get together, we call it that they're, doing Hari Katha? Why don't we say they're doing meditation? Right, so it's only you understand. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point. Use the appropriate term for the appropriate thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then it becomes clear. When you use the wrong term, then we get confused.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to clarify.
No, but if it's about Hari Katha, is there a problem?
Mm-hmm.
So then, why would the question come up?
Okay.
Because you've interpreted it as meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
In Vrindavan, it seems that there are a lot of different quality of grass.
Yes. Yeah, the different varieties of grass give different flavors. So there's a general grass that's out in the, the forest that's generally growing, but then there must be some special kinds of grass. That, like there's sometimes you see it on the side of the road, there's one grass that very long joints before a leaf and then another and another. Very, very long. You just kind of see it now and again. But I know if it's very soft, I've heard that is a nice grass. Otherwise, the standard grass is the durva. Like that. But there'll be special ones here and there. So different herbs, different kinds of things like that. So basically, in one sense, you can call it all grass. Like that. All vegetation. So what vegetation would give that more pleasant thing? So then that they have got. Yeah. But the countless cows are eating the, what's the regular, grass. Yeah. And that milk is nice, but this is amongst milk, then this is more nice. That's the... She personally churned because she was making butter for her son. How could servants who burn the milk know how to do this? Driven by a stubbornness arising from Vatsalya Prema, she concluded that others could not do the job properly and resolved that from today she would prepare all the boys' butter, milk, and other eatables. Right? Because she figured it wouldn't be as good. Because they're just assistants. So they won't have that same affection, so they won't put in that same effort. Right? So this is where it comes from. The idea is because you have affection or attachment, that's why you'll take care better. But the whole point is if you don't know how to take care, how will that be better? Yes, you'll be better at not taking care properly because, you know, your affection is there, so you're totally focused on the child. So that lack of understanding then is perfectly manifest. But it's so, therefore, that's why we follow what they do. You know, that's what the Shastras say, what should be done, that's then what we do. Does that make sense? So it's the that combination. But here, it is actually doing these things that comes from Mother Yashoda. She is the origin of the parental rasa. So then she's decided that she'll do it the best. Mm-hmm. Because it must be that they sometimes burn the milk or something like this, or you know, maybe it doesn't get burnt, but you have to tell them, or like this. So then she's worried that it won't be as good. So she's decided that from today she'll do it herself. So then in that way, then she sent the maidservants for other things to do while she does this. They would be so tasty that he will not go to others' houses to steal. Right? So now she's trying to improve the... So they've all been assisting, and he's going off and stealing elsewhere. So now she decided she's going to take care of it. Then it'll be so good, he won't even want to eat at anybody else's house because it won't be as good. You know, it happens, right? She was churning the best yogurt from amongst countless samples that she had prepared the day before with her own hands. So she's taking from these 7 or 8 cows, that milk, then from that, then she's prepared the yogurt. And then from that, which yogurt came out the best, and that she's taking that pot for Krishna. Right? Not the Baba will get the other ones. Krishna will get this one. Right? Yeah. Yes.
It's a technical question. They churn butterfield from yogurt.
Yes.
Usually it's done from cream.
It depends on what you want. If you're using it for the salty items and all that, then you use the from yogurt. And if it's for sweet items, then you do it from cream. You know, it's just like, in, let's say you're making a salty preparation, you bring out the flavor more if you put a little something sour. You know, the modern things like put tomatoes or that, but in other cookies they'll put like some tamarind, or you put some yogurt, or, you know, they put some, you know, zest, or, you know, things like that. All these things, that little bit of sourness. So when you make it from yogurt, then the ghee has that touch of little sourness to it. You know, it also has to be made nicely. Then it's a very attractive smell. So then that on its own will be very attractive also to eat. It will have that little bit of background to it. But, does that make sense? So it's a slight difference. But. Srila Prabhupada adds, while churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. Like the kings would have the poets then recite things and things like that. So then that would be
inspirational songs.
Yes, then he put it into songs and we can do it, yes. Because it's something that'll stick in the mind.
Yes.
You know? Like that. So the element has something unique to it, that poetry to it, that, you know, some nice illustration that it sticks in the mind. So it's a natural thing to do. Yeah. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood pastimes, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shatakasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. So you see is that, you know, basically any, like the mom, she can sing songs to her kids. Yeah. She'll just make them up on the spot, you know. So, you know, if this is the culture and everything like that, and you know a little bit more about grammar and language and all that, then it just makes it that much easier. But the point is, the principle of it is any mother can do it. So it doesn't matter if it, you know, always rhymes or everything like that. It just comes out nice. And when they sing it, it always sounds good anyway, you know. Yeah, otherwise, you think about it. Okay, what is it? Okay, you have Rockabye Baby in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come Baby, cradle in all. Not very nice scenario, but because, you know, the ladies are singing and it sounds so sweet, the kid's cool. Right? You know, so that's the whole point. It doesn't have to be great poetry, but it's just, yeah, you know, London Bridge is falling down. It's kind of like, what are these? These guys are real dystopians, you know, like that. You know, so everything's falling apart and that. And they're taking the best part for the kid. You know, so it's not just any old bridge is falling down. London Bridge is falling down. Right? You know, maybe in France they sing Eiffel Tower is falling down. So, yeah, that place. Yeah.
It seems that in any song for with affection, for child, for love, it's the main thing is the intent.
Yes, and the intent is the main thing. That's why it's the pastimes of Krishna. Yes. So that's the thing. So even if it doesn't come out so great, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know. So that's the whole thing. Is she doesn't have to be a great grammarian or you know, one of these Brahmins. What are those Brahmins called? Vaidarbha? No, that's something else. It mentioned when Nanda Baba had all those different kinds of Brahmins.
Yes.
One of those class of Brahmins is one who recites poetry. Mm-hmm. They're just very, very expert. Yeah. So they know, you know, grammar, know poetry, know all that very well. So they know the technical skill. Then they can come and do it because it's not necessarily out of affection, other than the affection for the dakshin, no doubt. But, you know, in Braj it'll of course be about Krishna, but we're just saying, but here it's simply just due to affection. So it's not the quality of the poetry, first, because it's about Krishna is perfect. Mm-hmm. Second, because of that affection and all that in prema, then it's going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't have to get into the detail. She just talks about, you know, these things. So then singing it like that, then you remember and all that. So she wants to remember. Like that. It's not, oh, she's there with Krishna, she doesn't have to think about these things. No, they always want to be thinking about Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, it's standard. So it's not a difficult thing to do, you know, because it's a little easier, because you just have to have that one syllable rhyme. Well, I don't know about other languages, but in English you have to get a whole chunk of letters to rhyme. You know, like O-U-G-H, you know, ought, you know, those, you know, things like that. So to find another word that has that same kind of thing is difficult because it's not always the same sound. So I'm not sure in other languages. It may be easier in other languages because the vowels are always the same sound. But in English, one vowel can have so many sounds. It's ridiculous. You know, O-U-G-H has six different sounds. So like that, you know. So it's harder to find a word that rhymes. But in Sanskrit, since it's always the same, therefore it's very easy to make rhyme. You know, if nothing else, just the last letter is an A or an M or like that. So then it can be easily done. Does that make sense? And if you're accustomed to doing it, it becomes so much easier. So since this is something they would be doing, singing songs to the child, like that, and because they always like to remember Krishna and they're regularly churning butter, so they'll sing songs and that at that time. Because it said they were doing that before. You know, it was earlier. Like that. It already mentioned them doing that. So then they would have tons of practice. So it would be very natural.
Maharaj, can we compose songs and the devotees of ISKCON compose songs? Because I have read two letters of Prabhupada forbidding to on separate occasions
compose songs.
Is it like so that all the Vaishnava Acharya songs, bhajan, are not frozen? That's it. You can't compose any poems or...
They're frozen?
Like, why can't they, add
why
to them.
Frozen?
Like,
why would you add to them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, why would you add?
Yeah, why would you add?
But why ask the question? Did I say you should add?
No.
I didn't say that. I mean, it's not too hard. Tempest in a teapot.
nobody here is adding, but some people have their own, and they have their group, and they sing that particular song.
So you have to make a distinction between adding to the song and using akar. You don't know akar. Akar, you see, there's a few songs Prabhupada does this. He uses akar. It means where you repeat just a part of the line or a word. Like say, you know, like in the Gaurartik song, then you'll sing the full verse and then you just say Shankar Bhaji Ganta Bhaji. You know, or you know, Madhu 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 Bhaji, Madhu Madhu Madhu, like that. You just take part of it, and so that repetition that you can do. So that just adds, brings out the words, allows you to bring out other aspects of the tunes to make it attractive, but they're always emphasizing the important part. So what's the important part there? It's the sweetness of the kirtan. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not kartal, 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 bhaji, you know. You know. You understand? Now, if it was begun, 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 bhaji, now that would go through. That would be appreciated. But that's not. Most people don't even like the way they play the kartal and stuff. You know. Like that. We used to refer to, when most people would play the wampers, we refer to them, you know, such and such brahmacharis on the ash cans. You know, you take an ash can, I mean the garbage can, and you have the metal lid, this big thing, and you take those and bang them together. So, yeah, so. That you can do. And you see your Prabhupada doing it sometimes, but it's very specific. But you don't make up extra stuff like that. Sometimes you do. You have some of them there. Gaudiya Math makes up all kinds of stuff, but it's specifically within their songs and this and that. But you have to see the thing. But generally, we don't use them. But you know, what we have, that's what we're using. You don't have to add in all the others. But to make up your own lyrics, that we wouldn't do. Now, offering prayers to the Lord, you offer. You know, you say you with your own. Oh, prayers, that you can do. But it has to be following the footsteps of those who offer the authorized prayers. So you have to be very careful about it. Otherwise, we get too much into our own thing. I think it was when they were painting the outside of the boundary wall. So they painted the whole thing in like Gaurlila and different things like that. And at one of the things there, the artist who did it then painted his own shloka on the wall, probably didn't appreciate it. You know, because who are we? What do we understand? So that's why everything that was written first came by Sri Damodar before it went to Lord Chaitanya. Because if there was anything wrong with it, it didn't go to Lord Chaitanya. Mm. You know, so that's the thing. So better we don't do that. You know, so it's not that it's a matter of it's frozen. It's a matter of they're perfect. So why do you need to change perfect? You know what I'm saying? So they cover all the moods and everything like that. You know, so first learn to sing all those. Can you sing all those? If you can sing all those and you know all that and all the songs from Rupa Goswami and Padyavali and Stavavali and Raghunath Das and you know everybody's everything, you can even sing the whole Bhagavatam and you know like that, then you ran out of stuff, you know, and you can go on to other Puranas, hey, you know, try Upanishads, see how that works for you, you know. But the point is there's no need to make anything up because they've given. It's like we don't need to make up our philosophy, so we don't make up our songs. Is that so? Why would we want to?
They felt some emotion, and that they.
Yeah, I felt hungry also. I really felt like going to the toilet. You know what I'm saying? In the modern age, feelings are overrated. Like that. So you have to be very careful. It's not you feel like it, but it's not necessarily to be appreciated. Yeah. The point is that means you don't know the songs well enough, otherwise you'd be able to take from the songs. Because the point is, if you're singing that song, and from that a sentiment comes up, where did it come from? It came from that song. So if you don't know what word or phrase it came from, then are you that educated? then more it's about your own thing. So if you feel like you want to be able to improvise in that way, then learn the grammar, learn the language, learn the vocabulary, and therefore then learn how to use akar. Like that. The system's already given. You don't have to make it up yourself. Because otherwise, then, you know, so many things are made up because you feel like it. The boy felt like taking the girl onto the roof when no one is there. So now is it authorized? So then why should this be authorized? That's the thing, is when we like, we say they feel like it, and it's authorized. And other times we say they feel like it. That's nonsense. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. So that's why we're saying it's not dharma. It's below that. It's just our own senses. Okay, no, but he felt like it. Why can't you let him do like that? But the point is he supposed to do? Is it his duty? If it's not, everybody feels like, you know, wouldn't he, it means, you know, there's so much money there in the temple, and some devotee feels like he would like to take that and buy himself a ticket to Vrindavan. So is that all right? It's spiritual. He's going to Vrindavan. You know? Does that make sense? You know, but the whole point is it your duty? No. Temple president, that's his decision. You know what I'm saying? So this whole thing of just one's feeling is all there is, and then we back that up, well, this is about prema. Yeah, it's about prema, not about mundane feelings. Like that. They may have their connection to Krishna, but the point is what you connect is the duties. So one has to be careful. Does that make sense? Yes.
What is your opinion on Indian?
What is my first thing? By opening with what is my opinion, then it has no value, because my opinion is unimportant. So in other words, what the acharyas say, what Krishna says, what Sukadeva Goswami or Sutta Goswami says, like that. That's the point. The whole thing, what's your opinion? Because then it's like, okay, this one has this, that one has that, so, you know, what's yours, you know, so we can speculate on it. That's why we don't use opinions.
An Indian is called...
Then you can use the opposite. You know, at this point, you said. What did I say? That's the scary end of the story, right? You know, you have the pleasant, speculative side, and then the scary.
When Indian ISKCON devotees, they visit Braj.
When Indian ISKCON devotees visit Braj. I see.
The songs that have been played, which are the pastimes of Krishna, they sound very sweet, and that is what they sometimes bring the cassettes at home and they play. So is that recommended? Because
is it recommended to bring those cassettes that they hear playing outside the front gate by the guys in the shop across the street hoping that you'll buy them? They're about Krishna. They're not our line. They're sweet and all this and that, but do they have the chit potency? So they're nice and sweet, but I would say is if in your home you listen to pop music, then that's about Krishna. At least it's better than, you know, Kalho Naho or something, right? Okay. So sorry. So then that would be better. But if you don't listen to pop music, then better you just stick to our own stuff. I mean, what's going to be nicer than one of our own kirtaniers doing kirtan? Because that's all it is. It is musically sweet. Because who's doing it is not necessarily a Braj Basi. It's not that they went, you know, found on the side of the road one of those old ladies in white sari and that, and, you know, no teeth, and then they sat down there with the whole microphone and that and got her to sing the song. Right? No. They went, and there's some professional person in Bombay or Delhi doing something that they can do. So, you know what I'm saying? So, in other words, if you already listen to all varieties of music, listening to that is nice because it's at least about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? But if you're not listening to that, then why would you listen to it? Right? And then to use them in our kirtans, then that's really not important. Because the point is, Brajvasis sing all kinds of stuff. That's their business. It's not our business. We're sadhakas. They're not. So Lord Chaitanya told that to Sanatana Goswami. You go to Vrindavan, but you don't associate too closely with the Brajvasis. So therefore, we don't do what they do. We do what our acharyas told us to do. And they, but at the same time, as they do what they do, we don't. We're not worried. We're not saying, "Oh, that's not according to sadhana like we do." Therefore, it's bogus. No, they're Brajvasis. They do what they do. We're not going to worry about it. Right? So they sit in the back of the what do you call it? You know, the tractor trailer. You know, going down the road. You know, all 20 of the ladies singing songs about Krishna and far out things like that. Great. You know, we sit in the back of the trailer. We'd probably be really grumpy because, you know, one, as we're moving along, we don't get good, reception, and the phone bounces too much. We can't, you know, type our message. So at least they're singing about Krishna. And we complain about the ride. Does that make sense? So therefore, we wouldn't copy their songs, we wouldn't use their songs. But we hear, what does it matter? You know, it's like that. It's like the Braj Basi is playing it, hoping you'll buy it, but you don't have to buy it.
This should be the practice. This should be the practice. Should go for that.
Second paragraph.
Yeah, but where?
This should be the practice.
Okay, this should be the practice. Okay. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. Right. That's the hint, right? This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna conscious, that we should follow such persons. Understand? That's how it's written.
So if we are not very poetic, we can chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, we can chant it. It already rhymes. Right? You know, it even has a rhythm to it. Right? Okay. So that's the whole point, is those who are Krishna conscious, they're always absorbed in remembering the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, we who want to become Krishna conscious, we follow in their footsteps and do the same thing. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, dressed in a saffron yellow sari, with a belt tied around her full hips, Mother Yashoda pulled on the churning rope, saffron yellow, so not so, you know, because saffron's a little more on the red, so it's a little bit more on the yellow side. Okay, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and Malati flowers were falling from her hair. Right? So this tradition of putting these flowers in the hair, we can see that that's an old tradition. So it's not just South. Now it's maybe only practiced by South, but before it was a common standard activity. Because we have to remember, South is coming from either Kailash or Vaikuntha. That's, you know, so Kailash coming from Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is coming from Dwarka. Dwarka is coming from Vrindavan. So therefore, if they're wearing flowers in their hair, it's because Mother Yashoda used to do it. But nowadays in North, they don't practice that.
In fact, it is a rule in the schools that girls should have flowers in their hair.
But that's in Gujarat.
No,
in South. In South. Oh, okay, in South. Yeah, South is done. But I'm saying Gujarat's also South. So. Right. So that's what I'm saying. Only South, huh?
Real flowers.
Real flowers. That's why they use these small flowers. It's these little flowers, like bay leaves and mullet, these little flowers. They're tied into
string.
So it's not like here where you took 1, 1, 1, 1. It's the type where they're bound, so they're going in a spiral. So it's really, really full. And that's tied into the hair. And that's considered then your hair is dressed. Otherwise, your hair's not dressed. Your hair's just open. So you have to have the flowers. So they say, no, but in South they don't cover their head. They wear flowers in their hair. Okay. So they're going to do that? Go ahead. But I don't see them doing that. So neither is it tied, neither is it with flowers, and neither is it covered. And somehow or another, well, we're just following it. Yeah, right. You know, so you know, that's the problem. So formally, you have to have. You're going to go for anything formal. If you're in the house walking around, that's another thing. But if you go out, then you put flowers. especially as the temple, you know, so it might be a small thing, you just put a little bit, but if it's a fancy thing, you're going to a wedding, you're going to the temple, yes, then more and more, so the wedding will have the most, of course. But so here it's just one of the things that is just done. They wear flowers in their hair. It's just part of the, you know, decoration. So here we see it. They wear a nice sari. They have the, you know, they have a nice belt. So the ankle bells is there, because remember Krishna would then follow the ankle bells, because they hear ankle bells, think it's Mother Yashoda, and find out it's not, and then run back. You know, those kind of things. So they're always these, the bangles, all these things. They're just all part of the feminine nature. And so then they just bring that out. So then that's just the natural thing. It's the natural situation. So then the mind is peaceful, because the ornaments, the beauty, the things like that, it's just the manifestation of the finities that say the mode of goodness. And so the mind coming from the goodness and the feminine nature being based on the mind, therefore then things that are done in goodness, these very nice things, then become very much part of the scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Mother Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Mm-hmm. Right? We discussed that before. Mm-hmm. You have to be very careful there. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or serviceship, in any way we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. So that's why you follow in the footsteps. So it's Rag-Anuga. You understand? So that whole discussion we had before about you don't do what they're doing. You don't project that you're doing what they're doing or do what they're doing. You follow in the footsteps of what they're doing. That's Raganuga. That's following. Right? Does that make sense? So we see here, this is how it's described. And so by just being described like this, then you can catch this is what it's talking about, or it's just, you know, it's part of the practice of devotional service, which it is. Yes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Is that, no?
Part of the practice, I didn't catch that one. Means shalom kirtan.
Yes. So it's there. It's a general for everyone, mm-hmm. but the way it's presented, you also understand that it has the underlying aspects of the more advanced. So it could be the same point could be appreciated and practiced by the neophyte, by the madhyama, and by the uttama. So all it works for everybody. That's the perfection. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that you're doing it, you see they're doing it. That's a very important, otherwise this Mayavad aspect comes out. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. Unless one is there and they tell you to do this, the person you're following says do this, then you're doing that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you don't imitate. Mm-hmm. So it's a very specific, because they know how to please Krishna, we assist them in pleasing Krishna. Mm-hmm. So if we know how to assist, then there may be others who are following us, who then we're showing them how to assist the person that we're following, who's assisting like this, and it goes all the way back to whoever's the head of the particular devotional line. Mm-hmm. Does that really make sense? Mm-hmm. Therefore, this description is provided here. Right? So it's provided, it's explained. But it's just a matter of, you know, how you say, one will understand it according to one's ability. Mm-hmm. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring. Right? Because she's working, why is the perspiring coming? Because she's working so hard. Why? To please Krishna. So she's making that endeavor. Right? You know, she's the queen. She does have maidservants. She could just say, "Is why I should get all hot and sweaty." But no, she does to please Krishna. How beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. Right? So that's a very clear, direct explanation, right, of the process. Does that make sense? But you see, that's the expertise of the acharyas, the way it's worded, then everybody can get benefit. Because sadhana bhakti is part of, you know, I mean, in other words, the prema bhakti. Expanding from that is bhava, expanding from that is sadhana bhakti. Right? So the activities of sadhana means those activities that match what they can do. right? Just like we said in the Vedic educational system, there's no children's education. There's only adult education. But children, according to their nature, will learn which particular aspect of adult education matches. So, when they're younger, they memorize. When they're in the middle, then they learn the skill and techniques. And when they're older, they learn the philosophy. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's where the focus is. Now, an adult can know all three of them. Mm-hmm. But, according to the child, then they learn that thing. So, that they're doing one or the other doesn't mean that it's a separate thing. Or it's that part that they can do. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, the devotional process is given. And then we apply it to what we can do with it. Does that make sense? But the principle of following in the footsteps, being absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, that's always the same. Does that make sense? Sukadeva Goswami continued. While Mother Jashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her. And in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Right? Because otherwise, you know, you come and that, but you know, just finish this, and then, well, no, this is stopping. And so, yeah, so, like that. Then their kids aren't stupid. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Waking up in the morning, leaving the room, Krishna began crying from hunger. He thus approached Jashoda, Ashadya, and held the churning rod, indicating to her that she should stop the churning and give him attention. Jashoda understood his cleverness, and this increased her bliss. So how he deals, and it's about her, he wants her to enter, it just increases her happiness. And then that she does, then that increases, like this, it just nourishes. Also you notice here is that early in the morning, then that's what is what's going on. So these are all duties that are going on in the morning. Like that. So now whether he's waking up now for the first time or he's waking up after, you know, a morning nap. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because the smaller you are, the more naps you take. You know. So, but the point is it's still in the morning. Like that. So this isn't something you just, you know, I say leave until later in the day. Because otherwise by that time the yogurt starts to go sour, so therefore your butter will be more sour, everything will go sour. So first thing in the morning before it gets warm, then it's done. Anything that you do with food before 7 in the morning, generally it hasn't changed since the night before. But from 7, somehow to the effect of the sun, it changes. That's when it starts to go funny. So if you have that Mahaprasada stashed and you know you want to eat it tomorrow, eat it before 7. Because after 7 it may go funny. Okay. Okay, so we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.
You said that the ladies, they can have flowers in the head instead of the head covered?
It's one way of dealing with the tradition, but then the point is those who do cover their head with flowers do not put any energy into their hair. South Indian women never put energy into their hair. You'll never see them flipping their hair or doing anything. But North Indian girls do. And Westerners, definitely. It's all in the hair. So therefore, that's why then they cover. It's a different thing. Since you want to play, see, the South Indian girls never play with their hair. North Indian girls always play with their hair. So therefore, you use the sari, and then the sari is what you can play with, because it does the same thing that the hair does.
Yes.
You know, so it gives the same feminine effect. You just have to know how to wear it.
Yeah.